Hello, good morning, South City. All the young ones, can you go off and have some fun without us? God bless you. So good morning. So good to be in the house of the Lord, eh? Amen, amen. Folks, we all really should do everything we can to preserve wildlife, not so. I've done my bit. I pickled a squirrel. So, yeah, I'd just like to start with something a little light. Because laughter is the best medicine, not so. Unless you got diarrhea. All right, let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, today I ask that you would place a watch over my mouth. Do you ensure that everything I say is straight from you, nothing is from me. I pray that you help me to keep this message clear and simple. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're continuing with our exciting series, hey? It's an exciting series on Acts. And isn't it amazing how much there is to learn from just one book of the Bible, hey? We've been in Acts now as long as I can remember, but then I am old, so. So today's sermon is entitled, Surely Not Them, Lord. Now, we're not talking about the Blue Ball supporters here, although maybe they should be included in that as well. But we're going to look at Surely Not Them, Lord. Up until now, Christianity was a Jews-only movement. It was like an exclusive club. But today, we're going to see that through Jesus, God is opening a door to the Gentiles, opening the door for them also to enter his kingdom and to be part of his eternal family. And this has been God's plan right from the very beginning. Absolutely. And his plan was to have a church made up of every nation, every tribe, every language, all ministering to him. And we see now that Cornelius and his family, they are the first Gentile or non-Jewish believers to be included into this family of God. And we saw last week that Cornelius served God wholeheartedly, and that even with the limited revelation that he had, he still lived a godly life. We see also that the way he lived got God's attention. And now, God wanted to reveal himself, reveal more of himself, and give more of himself to Cornelius. Because we all know God rewards faithfulness, not so. So in Luke 11, verse 11, it says this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if we, despicable humans, like Keith and Robin, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, then surely God knows even better what is good for his children, not so. And what's the greatest gift that God can give us? More of himself. He can give us his Holy Spirit in an increasing measure. Did you get that? There's no limit to how much of God you can have. No limit. This means that we can have as much of God as we want. Why do I say that? John 3:34 says, Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. So just like Cornelius did, the more you pursue God, the more he will reveal himself to you. And the more he will give of himself. Folks, just make sure that sinks in. That's exciting news. That's exciting news. So now, the Gentiles, most of us, were mostly despised by Jewish people. They were considered to be impure and unclean. And according to the Jewish worldview, there were only two categories of people. Jewish, who were good, and everyone else, who were all bad. One or the other. And do you know that there's a morning prayer recited by observant Jewish men? And in that prayer, they thank God that they're a Jew, and they thank God they're not a woman, and they thank God, see, I didn't comment there, and they thank God that they're not a Gentile. Now, this emphasizes the fact that the Jews hated the Gentiles, and they often would refer to them as dogs or outsiders. And it's in this context that God had to bring new revelation to Peter. And Peter had been taught, remember, from a very young age. The Jewish people were prohibited to marry non-Jewish people or Gentiles. Also, Jewish people were prohibited from worshiping together with Gentiles. The Jews were also prohibited from having meals with Gentiles. He was taught that Jews are prohibited from eating specific foods, but the Gentiles not prohibited. They could eat anything they like. So in short, to the Jews, everything Jewish is great. Everything else, bad. But things are about to change. We're going to see today. Peter is about to go through yet another test. And the main points we're going to cover today, there's only three of them. One, a new revelation. Two, a new people. And then the third one is a new beginning. So let's go to Acts 10, verse 9, starting at verse 9. Acts 10, starting at verse 9. Our first point, a new revelation. Acts 10, verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey, approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Now the ladies here would probably be able to relate to this. We noticed that when you're preparing a meal for a guy, he usually doesn't help too much. And he just goes and falls into a trance on the couch. Right? So this is what happened to Peter. Verse 11. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." So here, Luke is contrasting these two believers, Cornelius and Peter. And he highlights how different, yet how similar, their encounters with God were. And how they both have a vision from God. They were both praying men, we know that. So Cornelius, he sees an angel. Peter sees a sheet with unclean, impure animals. And the angel says to Cornelius, "Go and fetch Peter." Whereas the Holy Spirit told Peter to go to Cornelius. And it's interesting to see the difference here. Peter is Spirit-led, and he's told to go by the Spirit. Cornelius at this stage is not Spirit-led, and he needed a visit from an angel. And we'll see later, when Peter visits Cornelius and his household, and he tells him about Jesus, we'll see that that same Holy Spirit that was on Peter was then comes upon them as well. So God instructed Peter not to discriminate. And he's emphasizing that salvation is for everyone. Everyone who fears God and does what is right, salvation is for them. And we'll see this next week in Acts 10:34. Now, initially, Peter must have thought that this was some sort of test. Because many of these animals in his vision were animals that Jews were prohibited from eating. Animals that were considered impure and unclean, at least for Jewish people. But God is about to show Peter his heart for the nations, not just for the Jews. From here on, Peter and all the Jews should no longer believe that the Gentiles coming to faith in God are unclean or unacceptable or unholy. This passage teaches us two major truths. The first one is that no one is saved by their good works. No one. Remember Cornelius and his household? They needed to be taught the gospel. And only then the Holy Spirit come upon them. The second thing we learn here is that being a God-fearing man wasn't enough for Cornelius. It wasn't enough to secure a close relationship with God. And folks, it's not enough for us either. Peter's vision was a prophetic revelation, exposing God's will for the body of Christ. From that time onward, and this now, this is a new revelation. So we come to the second point, which is a new people. Verse 14. "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So I ask you, who are those "surely not them, Lord" people in your life? Who are they? And how would you respond to a dinner invitation from one of them? We all have prejudices, and these prejudices are in our hearts. And we need the gospel to help us to deal with them. They're difficult to deal with. And just like Peter, We have a tendency to naturally gravitate towards or want to spend time with people who look like us, who speak like us, and who dress like us. With people who have the same background or culture, same as us. People who maybe live where we live. And this is so contrary to what Jesus came to model to us. It's so different to what Jesus commissioned us to do. Because didn't Jesus come to earth to save people who are totally unlike him? And isn't this what he was constantly criticized for doing? He was criticized because he, a Jewish rabbi, spent time with unclean and impure people. And what was his response to these accusations? What was that? Let's have a look. John 5, 31. Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That was his reply. There's a very cute little poem. It goes like this. Dr. Bell fell down the well and broke his collarbone. Doctors should attend the sick and leave the well alone. And this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus came to earth to do. He came that through his life and his death and resurrection, he would deal with sin, and he opened the way to the Father. He opened the way to the Father to bring all of us, including the Gentiles, into right relationship and right standing with God. We read in Hebrews 4 that through him it was made possible for us, Gentiles, to live like Jesus did. And this made it possible for us to approach God with confidence, boldly. Now, strangely enough, Peter here is objecting to the very thing that Jesus came to do. Jesus came to make unclean people, like Brian, came to make them clean. Jesus came to open the temple to outsiders, people who previously weren't allowed to come close to God to worship. They had to worship from afar, in a separate area, in a place called the court of the Gentiles. They weren't allowed close. And Jesus drew them close. Jesus made them acceptable in God's sight. And he did this by covering them with his robes of righteousness and by making them acceptable to God. He did this for us as well. By dealing with our guilty conscience and our shame and by washing us with his blood. And he gave us a new heart. Matthew 15, 18. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimonies, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. This is why we need a new heart. A heart that can produce the fruit of the Spirit. A heart to replace our old, unsaved heart. That one can only produce the works of the flesh. You see, bad spiritual heart conditions are much more common and much more dangerous than you might think. Galatians 3, 26 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, clothed yourselves with Christ." There we go. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." With a new heart comes a whole new nature. Big change. 2 Peter 1 verse 4 says, "For through faith in Jesus, we became participants of God's divine nature." You know what that says? It says, through Jesus, we get God's DNA. Because of Jesus, God the Father can now adopt us. He can cause us to be born again into his family, and we become co-heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah! Amen. Hallelujah! That's amazing. And that brings us to the third point, which is a new beginning. Verse 17. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Obviously, this is before intercoms. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you." Folks, sometimes God interrupts us. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt us, whatever we're doing. And we see here that Peter is interrupted by the Spirit. Verse 20, "So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So what was it with Peter and the number three, eh? He denied Jesus.
Three times.
Yeah. And Jesus had to ask him whether he loved him. How many times? Three.
Yeah.
And this vision of the sheet was shown to him.
Three times.
Now, how many men have come looking for Peter? Three. So it took three times for God to convince Peter that he was doing something unconventional and something new. Now, I hear Peter laughing there. Now, we can laugh at Peter. But for many of us, three times is still not enough. We still can't learn something. Not so. And Peter's obedience here to God's command to go to Cornelius' house, despite his initial reservations, this demonstrates the importance of obedience in our relationship with God. This passage, folks, challenges us to overcome our prejudices, to overcome our preconceived notions about this. And that's so that we can fulfill God's mission of spreading the gospel to all nations. So I ask again, what are some of the prejudices in your heart that you need to overcome? And let me encourage you, take some time to ponder that question. Take some time, ask yourself, what are they? How can I set about overcoming them? Look at verse 21. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guests. So Peter invites Gentiles into his home. So he must have had an aha moment. Not so. He suddenly realized what God was trying to tell him. And that is, God's heart is for people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. That instruction to eat unclean and impure animals in that sheet was in fact pointing to an instruction to accept the unclean and impure Gentiles into God's family. That was the instruction. And remember, at this stage, it would have been unthinkable that salvation would be offered to Gentiles. Surely not them, Lord, Peter said. But we see that after Pentecost, the mission of God begins to expand. And first of all, it goes to the detested people of Samaria. See that in Acts 8. And then it moves on to the Ethiopian eunuch. That's fine, but the idea that this mission would go even beyond these groups, that would have been far, far, far from Peter's mind. This huge transformation wasn't orchestrated or even desired by the disciples. No, not at all. It was God who was behind it all. God's desire for the Gentiles to be included in salvation. That's what drove the action. All the action in this story is driven by that. Peter struggles to understand what God is doing. He struggles to overcome his own resistance to this. It's an unimaginable change. And it's now unfolding right before his very eyes. He can't get his head around it. Can't understand it. So while this story that we read here is the story of the conversion of Cornelius, it could just as easily be called conversion of Peter, because his entire worldview is transformed in this story. I think Peter should be given huge credit for allowing himself to be led by the Spirit into this new understanding. And it's a whole new understanding of who the gospel is really for. At every stage in the story, although he doesn't understand what's happening, but he follows the Spirit's guidance and he follows faithfully, even when it meant transgressing his own religious norms. Even then, he allows God to completely overturn his sense of who ought to be allowed to be part of this Jewish movement. The question for us to consider is whether or not we are open to being as radically changed as Peter was. And we pay attention to the voice of the Spirit, even when he's telling us to do something unimaginable. When he's telling us to widen our boundaries far beyond our comfort zone, to widen our boundaries to where we can give and receive hospitality to and from people who seem to be totally different to those that we've associated with in the past. Can we cope with that? What doors of prejudice do you need to open in your heart? Is there a surely not them person that God wants you to reach out to? Folks, the Let's give this some serious thought this week. Is there such a person? Are there people we need to reach out to? Do I need to open my boundaries? Do I need to be more relaxed about who I'm? And let's move out of our normal zone that we're in, our comfort zone, to those people that maybe we weren't so comfortable with before. Can we do that this week? Let me close in prayer. Can we all stand? Those of you that can, that's fine. Heavenly Father, you made it clear that all people are invited to partake of the glory of your salvation. Help us to overcome our prejudices and to accept and invite all people to enter your goodness so that no one might be forgotten or excluded from your saving grace. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.